We're going to look here in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And so I want to challenge you to look at it with me. Verse number 1. The Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, if you don't know what time it is, this is what time it is. It's the latter times. In the latter times, we could say the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then he mentions a couple of them. We won't take time to get into all. There, when you talk about doctrines of devils, you could spend a long time talking about different things that would be classified as doctrine of the devil. Some things are just human thinking. They're not really necessarily the devil. It's just human thinking. But there are things that are classified in the Bible as doctrines of devils. I wanted you to see that verse before I told you what the Lord said to me and interrupted my wonderful time meditating in His Word on healing. I was just having a good time fellowshipping with Him, thanking Him for His goodness and mercies over me concerning healing. And I heard this in my spirit. It wasn't audible, but it was came by the voice of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just an inner witness. It was the words came to me. Now, the difference between the inner witness and the voice of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit does speak. When Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will not speak of Himself, but He does speak. Amen. Amen. So, but the words came to me. I heard it in my spirit. He said, socialism is a doctrine of devils. And I went, you know, yes, thank you for my healing. What? I mean, it's just the way it functions sometimes in the office that I stand in. It just comes out of the blue, and it's almost like random. And it's like it doesn't make sense. It's not connected to anything I was fellowshipping with God about. And that's just the way it functions sometimes. And all of a sudden, I said, oh, I never thought about that. And I tried to go back to healing, but I had no unction. And thing after thing started coming to me regarding socialism. Now, I said we're not here to attack anybody, right? And in all reality, I want to share this in the love of God. Not to lambast people or any personality or call names or anything like that. Because I think, to be honest with you, most people that... even, excuse me, Christians sometimes that promote this, and we'll look at what it is scripturally, that promote this, they really don't know what they're promoting. And to be honest with you, they have a very short-sighted view of it. And if they saw the end of it, they would reject it immediately because of all the things that's connected to it. But the Lord has spoken to me in times past and said, I've made you a watchman over the office of the President of the United States. Now, you might say, are you somebody special? No, you're a watchman over something, too. We're all watchmen. We're all to be watching over something and keeping it in the power and keeping of God and keeping Satan out of it. And as we obey that, we will the manifestation of the Spirit will get stronger and stronger. Amen. Now, so as a watchman over the office of president, at times I get to be I get in on other things, watching over other things. The Lord told me, Pastor Debbie alluded to it. She didn't tell you everything, but the Lord said, because whenever this new judge was the Supreme Court justice was. The former one passed on. I said, Lord, I started praying about that. And I said, Lord, who is it? And the Lord pointed this lady out to me and said, she's the one. I said, she's the one. He said, yeah, the anointing is on her for it. Amen. Amen. I didn't tell that. Pastor Debbie told part of that. Yes. Amen. But see, that's because he's made me a watch. Well, now I know how to pray.
Yes, sir. Amen.
As a watchman, you got to know what the Holy Ghost is saying. And you can see the anointing on her. Oh, my goodness. They couldn't touch her. Hallelujah. So, but anyway, somebody said, no, Pastor, you ought not preach politics. This is a spiritual battle, not a political battle. Amen. And to try to say you can't talk about these things is try to say I can't talk about what the Word says about these things. And we're called as ministers to preach the Word. We've got to, as the body of Christ, go back to the Scriptures that our founding fathers stood on when they formed this kind of government and know why they formed it the way they formed it. Because we've lost, in our generation, lost sight of those basic Scriptures. Of the division of powers and the different things. These are all scriptural principles. No, the Constitution is not an addendum to the Bible, but it's based on biblical principles. Amen. And this nation did not become great because it was communist, Marxist, or socialist. It became great because it was founded on biblical principles. So let's go back and look at the biblical principles, amen, that this nation was found on. Now, I can't do it all this morning, but I think this thing about you can't preach on politics, which this is not politics, was brought in to put fear in preachers to keep them, to get the church and get ministers to shut up. And but we don't attack people when we preach. We simply share what the Word of God says. Are you with me? Now, a doctrine of devils is more than just an idea of men. Doctrines of devils, let's put it this way, no doctrine of devil, when it is practiced or implemented, has the anointing of the Holy Spirit on it to break yokes. All doctrines of devils have the power of Satan behind them to put men in bondage. And that's what's being pushed in some circles of our nation. As I studied and meditated on this, I realized that this is not just a doctrine. Socialism is a spirit. It is a demon spirit. Amen. Now, notice that Satan pushes doctrines. I'll give you one most people could be familiar with, evolution. That is a satanic doctrine. Somebody said, preached in the church? I think some churches do preach it. But it's preached out there in culture, in where Satan is ruling over the masses. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You understand what we're talking about? The day will come. I don't know when it'll be. It might be over in the millennial reign. But we'll look back on this time and say, that was the stupidest thing anybody ever said, evolution. Because it'll all come clear that it was not truth. So, we're going to share some of these things. I want to do it in the spirit of love, and I trust that you'll be able to hear it and not put up defenses. Amen. I love this nation. I love this nation. I love what it was founded on. I love the liberties and the freedoms that we have. And I want to be a watchman on the wall to watch over this nation and watch over what's coming in this nation. And whenever I see an enemy, blow the trumpet. And say, enemy, alarm, alarm, enemy. And say what the Holy Ghost is saying. Amen. Now, I never thought about that this being a doctrine, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that. But as I began to think about it, I thought, well, that does make sense. It is a dogma. And these people it almost becomes their religion. If you've ever looked into their lives and looked at kind of where they worship, at the altar of where they worship at the altar of big government. And government control of all the people. And before we get any further, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I trust I can get through as much as I want to get through this morning. But the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, let's look at verses 13 through 15. And tell your neighbor, we're going to renew our mind this morning and find out what we are really talking about. I don't think that most people who talk about socialism and what the Bible says about socialism, based on my listening to them, I don't think they know anything about the Bible or socialism.
Amen. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Come
I'm serious. I don't think they really understand. They push some certain verses, and we'll look at these verses, and say certain things, and try to make things sound different than they actually are. But it contradicts so many other things. We'll get into this. But see, our stand as the body of Christ needs to be that we're not going to let this happen on our watch. We're going to renew our mind to what it really is, socialism. Now, socialism is just kind of the beginning of Marxism and communism. Marxism, communism is just another level of it. Karl Marx started that over in, Russia years and years. It was 1917 or something, whenever it was. Maybe that's when the revolution actually was. But we need to realize what it is and guard against it. We got to get to these scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So there are people that claim to be pushing progress and new light and more progress in society and so forth and so on, that are actually ministers of darkness, but they're transforming themselves into the ministers of light. You see what he's talking about? Because Satan, if he really came on the scene in all of his evilness, people wouldn't accept him. But he lures people in with little seductive deceptions and so forth. And he's willing to work on us like a frog boiling in the water. He's willing to work on us for generations to get something into our nation. And it's darkness, darkness, darkness. And if you see the end of it, people, that if they really saw the end of it, they would run from it, because every nation that's ever tried it has gone to the bottom on the list of nations as far as progressive or successful and prosperous and so forth. And at the end, every one of them have in every case rejected it, because the very thing they thought was to help them, especially the poor, ended up oppressing even the poor. You understand? And so this is a masquerade. They masquerade as prophets of light when actually they're pushing an idea against the Bible, and some Christians are beginning to fall for it. Now, before we go any further, I want to darken the lights. And back in 1963, just a second before you darken them, back in 1963, Brother Hagin prophesied something that I want to, we don't have the video of it, but it was on YouTube in a video form with just a static screen. I want to listen to this for just a few minutes. This is Brother Hagin prophesying in 1963, and I want you to listen. Pay close attention. Go ahead.
Yea, the hand of the Lord was upon me. The Spirit of God moved upon me. The voice of God spoke unto me and said, come up hither, son of man. And I went, as it were, up into the air and stood with him, the head of the church, even the Lord Jesus Christ, in the air. And as I looked down upon the ground, I could see as a mount laid out before me the entire nation, all of the states of the continental United States. And as I looked, he said, behold, son, and I shall show you that which shall come to pass. And that which the eyes of many shall see, and they shall remember that their ears heard, that it shall come to pass. For there came a dark hand up out of the ocean, from the east, even the Atlantic Ocean. It came up out of the sea as a hand. And as it rose up into the air, it became a dark cloud. And it filled the whole atmosphere. And yea, it swept in them like a storm from sea. And I said, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, what's the meaning of this? And he spake unto me and said, son, that is the darkness of atheistic communism that is sweeping across the nation, even in the minds of men in high places and politicians with great power. And this nation shall not grow more strong, and ye shall never have more liberty than you have now. But liberties that you've known, as you have seen them seized, shall be seized and shall be taken from you. And I looked again, and I could see upon the mountain a blot, as though a bottle of ink had been spilled, and it spread out over several states in the south and east. And then I looked and I could see spots splotched all over the map. And I said, Lord, what meaneth this? And he said, communistic inspired hatred among races shall cause greater turmoil than your nation has seen heretofore. Yea, it is not the will of God, but men's hearts are perverse. They walk without the love of God and seek to have their own way. And so it shall be, worse than you have seen. And I said, oh Lord, is there a remedy? Is there a remedy? What shall the answer be? And he said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. And then I said, oh Lord, do we have nothing to look forward to in the future? Except the darkness, the blackness, war, destruction, evil. And then he said, Son of man, forget not your text, for you look at the thing not seen. And so then I looked into the spirit realm. And I saw falling upon that mount a ball of fire from heaven. The closer to the earth, the bigger it got. And then when it came to the earth, it divided into small balls or sparks of fire and fell upon men. And I saw an army of men rise up. And it seemed as though their hands were fire. And they sat upon their heads a tongue of fire. When I first saw it, I thought their whole head was a head of fire, like their hands. But it was a tongue of fire. Tongues of fire leaping. And I said, what meaneth this? And he said, before the worst shall come, the day of darkness shall come, there shall those who will go, who shall carry the fullness of my truth and the fire, not only to the states of this nation, but to many other places. For there is a work that must be done first spiritually before the Lord shall come. Now prepare ye your hearts, for the time is at hand, and the beginning is now. And ye shall see, and ye shall know, for the hand of the Lord is upon you and many others to be used in these last days, and the work shall progress.
That's available on YouTube. There's a little bit more after that. For time's sake, I didn't want to listen to the whole thing. The Spirit of God began to deal with him about his ministry, and you can listen to that. But you can hear, this is speaking out of the realm of the Spirit through a vision in the office of the prophet. And you can hear the Spirit of God warning us that these things are going to get stronger and stronger. But you can also hear what will hold it back, and that's the move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And men moving with God in that power and signs and wonders. There's really no other remedy for this nation. Amen. The body of Christ is what holds these things back. But the body of Christ does that two ways. Number one, through prayer. And when I say that, I'm including the authority of the believer, although that's not prayer, but I'm talking about through exercising the authority of the believer and prayer. And second of all, by voting. And knowing what you're voting for. And knowing what not to vote for. You understand? You can't vote right if you don't have the right knowledge of these things. Amen? How many of you know the Spirit? There's several things he said. The spirit of atheistic communism. that spirit has become, it has gotten into higher and higher offices in our government. You realize that? And there's more and more sympathizers amongst us than there has been in the past for these things. That's because the church is allowing it. Amen. Now, if you study some of the groups pushing violence in our society today, and you look at their websites, they are bona fide 100% Marxist. 100%. 150%. They're not even ashamed of it. They have an agenda. Amen. And we best not be asleep at the destruction of this nation as we have known it. Amen. So I'm alarmed in my spirit at more and more Christians accepting this as a political or economic system. and we're going to get into the word here now about it. They are accepting it as the best fulfillment of the golden rule. And if that is so, we want to embrace it wholeheartedly. I'm talking about socialism or something like that. If that is so. I didn't say it is so. I'm saying if that is so. Because we're Bible people. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? But let's look at the Bible and see if it is so. Amen. So, like I said, the problem most people have is when they say, well, this is a best form of government because it's in line with this in the Bible or the golden rule or whatever. The problem is they don't know their Bible or socialism. So let's look at it. Amen. First of all, we see here that socialism is really, if you study what socialism really is, it's really big government, our savior, our provider, our grocery getter. You know what I'm talking about? Our bailouts, the one who buys our technology for us and gives it all to us. And you know what I'm talking about? That's what it really is. They may not actually say it, but it's in government we trust. The Bible, you know, and it's a system of taxation and confiscation and redistribution, whether it's socialism, Marxism, or communism. Now, they do it in the name, and here's where people, Christians, get tripped up. They do it in the name of compassion. We have compassion on people that are needing more financial help and so forth. And so what Christian is going to resist that? And that's where the deception is. Because we are and want to be and strive to be compassionate people. It's right for us to be compassionate toward others in need. Isn't that right? And so the idea is in socialism that there are inequities and injustices in our free market system where there's real rich people and there's real poor people. So we need to take from the rich through taxation and give those things to the poor. And now before you say, well, what's wrong with that? Let's look at the Bible. Number one, the Bible does condemn taking advantage of people financially. And it specifically addresses the rich to not do so.
That's right.
Amen. But what socialism is trying to do, they're trying to correct something. But they're trying to do it the wrong way. They're trying to do it by force. How many of you know Jesus addressed the money changers in the temple and rebuked them for charging? Really, if you study out, if you look at some of the study helps on some of this, you'll find that they were charging very high prices because it was very convenient to get it right there. So the prices were real high, and they just turn in a buck, you know. So Jesus rebuked them, didn't he? Because of abuse. And that is the heart of God. He hates abuse of the poor. Let me read a verse to you. I think I can find it real quickly. It's way back here somewhere. It's in Proverbs somewhere. The Bible says you actually, I don't know if I can find it. Anyway, I'll find it here probably in the middle of my preaching. But the Bible says that if you oppress the poor, you are, uh, you're, you're, uh, here it is, Proverbs 14:31. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for his maker. Proverbs 14:31. And there's many verses that preach against oppressing the poor. And Jesus addressed the money changers, and that's one of the things he was doing. Also, the Bible teaches and challenges believers to give to those around us in need, doesn't it? Isn't that right? So people hear those things and they say, well, see, then Jesus would support socialism. And increasingly, Americans are embracing that. Most of them are millennials. It's the younger generation. In all fairness, they see things in the government they don't like. And they're looking for something to change. And I agree with them. There's things, there's abuses, there's corruptions, there's so forth. There's things that are wrong. But it desperately needs some reform. But socialism is not the answer. That's jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. And besides that, you always have to be careful taking your doctrine from young people. And in relation to government, we're warned against it in 1 Kings 12, 1 through 19. That's where King, I believe his name was Rehoboam, he asked the young men, what do you think I should do? And the older men that had been with Solomon and all his wisdom and his flourishing government, what I should do. And the older men said, look, you're the servant to the people. Don't oppress them harder. Don't tax them more. Relieve their burdens. And they'll love you forever. And he went to the young man, Rehoboam went to the young man and said, what should I do? He said, you tell them that, you know, my daddy did this to you and I'm going to do it twice as bad. I'm going to do it real hard on you. And he rejected the counsel of the older men who said, government is to serve the people, not to oppress the people. And he took the counsel of the younger men. And that tells us, and actually it cost him, but that tells us, and that was oppression through taxation and burdens and stuff like that. That tells us, don't take your doctrine from younger people. Just because you're young doesn't mean you understand stuff yet. I'm preaching to the millennials here. Amen. Don't shut me up because you've already got your mind made up. Keep your mind open. So the seduction of socialism is, it sounds like compassion. And we are compassionate people. We want to be helpful to others and so forth. We don't want to oppress. We don't want the rich to oppress the poor or anything like that. That's against the Bible. And there's many other scriptures. You realize we could spend all day just on that. But just for time's sake, we just share those. And let's just look, though, at what socialism actually is. I get the sense sometimes right here in this congregation that there are even people in this congregation who are fused about socialism because they don't really understand what it is. So let's take some time here and study the Bible, all right? How many of you know the Bible said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge? If people could see the end of what they promote, they would reject it immediately. Amen. Now, to you young people especially, maybe the older generation understands this a little clearer, but to you young people especially, socialism sounds like compassion and therefore it sounds more Christian than capitalism. But socialism is actually directly opposed to and completely incompatible with everything Christianity teaches. You might say, well, give me some scriptures. We're getting there. I'm just trying to lay a foundation. It's popular in amongst socialists to just rail on capitalism. They hate it. It's very popular for them to rail on it because they think it's evil. We'll give some quotes here. They it's evil because we got the haves and the have-nots and so forth and so on. We'll address all that. But just let me, before we get to that, talk a little bit about what socialism is so we can look in the Bible and see if that's what the Bible says. Number one, throughout history, socialism has actually always been very anti-Christian. That is a historical fact. Yeah, that alone ought to be a way to judge socialism. The Bible says, here we are, giving you scriptures. The Bible says you'll know things by their fruit. Yes. Yes. You know things by their fruit. Socialism has always been very anti-Christian. And at the core, it is its own false religion as well as a government theory. It got us its genesis in a heathen man's mind. I'm sure he had help. Amen. And so The true socialism, wherever it has exercised, always persecutes the church. Amen. It always brings tyranny and oppression to the righteous. What are we talking about? We're talking about what the Bible says. You know things by their fruit. In every case, socialism leads to the true body of Christ being the bad guys who have got to be stopped and stomped out. They're the bad guys. Amen. It rejects faith in God as its source and makes the state its source. Can anybody think of any verses that that's against? Amen. It always oppresses free markets, free will, and which are all very scriptural things. And it has a completely materialistic worldview. I could get into that. I'm not going to. But I want to get into some things to start our study on this. We've got to look at three biblical principles that socialism is built on and see what the Bible says about them. Amen. Many people who rail against capitalism as evil and unjust, they don't really realize what capitalism is based on. Number one, capitalism is based on private property ownership. All right? Now, the question is that a biblical principle? Because socialism rejects that. Socialism goes towards the state owning everything. And we're just owned by the state. We don't even work for ourselves. Our paycheck gets divided up for everybody else. That's socialism. Through taxation. Confiscation through taxation and redistribution of wealth. But the Bible preaches individual rights to property ownership. Now that's in that's our rights in this country as well. We have the right to own property individually. Now somebody said, well, what does the Bible say about that? Well, you cannot keep the 10th and the 8th commandment in the 10 commandments if there is no such thing in God's mind as private property, rights of ownership of private property. What does the 8th and 10th commandment say? Thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife and his ox and his house and so forth and so on. Thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not covet. Now, how could it be stealing if it's not his? See, you're waiting for me to get to the word. We've been sharing the word, but here we're going to really get into it. There is no need. Now, by the way, who gave us the 10 commandments? God. So God was the one who in all reality was saying, I endorse private property ownership rights. I endorse a man having his ox and it's his. I endorse a man having his house and it's his. It's not all owned by the state and redistributed as the state thinks, the state wants to pick winners and losers. Hello? How can you do that? There's no such thing as individual. If there's no such thing as individual ownership of property in the eyes of God, then these commandments should not have been spoken. Right. Right. These commandments should not have been spoken. Yeah. Are you out there? Yeah. Here's another thing. If the Bible does not endorse and approve private property rights, then there should not be the thing in the Bible called the year of Jubilee. Amen. You know what the year of Jubilee was? It was every 50 years, everybody who had lost their private property because of, debt and somebody else gained access to it through debt, had it all restored back to them on the year of Jubilee. Basically saying, and if you read the whole account of why God did that, he said, I want Israel to own their own property and I want it to be theirs forever. Amen. I don't want them losing it to foreign nations and so forth and so on. And he gave it not just to the nation of Israel. He divided it to them by families. The family is the basic unit in God's view of this nation. That's the basic unit. Communism, socialism wants to do away with the family. In fact, that's one thing most people don't know about communism and about socialism. Their ideal, Karl Marx actually said it, is that they would destroy marriage and the family. Essentially, socialism seeks for the state to replace the family and they want to introduce or indoctrinate children at a very young age and take them away from their parents, telling them what the Bible says. Amen. And begin to indoctrinate them in their own schools. Friedrich Engels, he was the co-author of Karl Marx's The Communist Manifesto. He once wrote of society that he visioned would be that the single family ceased and to be the economic unit of society. Private housekeeping be transformed into a social industry. The care and education of children becomes a public affair, end quote. Nothing could be more atheistic. Said nothing could be more atheistic. So God gave it to the land of Canaan. He gave them property ownership, property rights, and he gave it to them by families. Now, that's and whenever somebody would lose it through debt, God said, I don't want them to lose that. I gave it to them. So I'm going to put in this year of Jubilee. And see, what that is God endorsing private property rights. And then, how many of you know, it is a scriptural thing, for a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. That's another endorsement of private property right. If it's not his, he can't leave it to his children. Now, that's the inheritance tax. They want to, I mean, some governments want 70% of all inheritance to be taxed at 70%. That's confiscation. That's government-endorsed stealing. It ought to be passed on to where the next generation has more and the one after that has more. And the family, the private individuals and their families be the owners of property. Amen. Y'all still out there? And so one of the things that's wrong with socialism, number one, it doesn't believe that what you have is yours. And second, the compassion it claims to promote, you know, government mandated taking from the rich and giving to the poor through taxation and confiscation, doesn't spring out of free will, but is forced by a tyrannical government hierarchy. Yeah. Yep. Right, did you hear that point? That was one of the most important statements I've made so far. It's not done. The compassion it claims to promote is not allowed or... It is mandated, in other words. One government official, I could call names and everybody here would instantly know they're alive and well on the planet and have been in power and so forth. One government official said to a little girl, trying to help her to understand socialism, he said to a little girl, now, if you had a pizza and your friend didn't have a pizza, wouldn't you want to give him part of your pizza? And, oh, yeah, of course, any little girl, any Christian would want to give it to him. But see, this government official was not promoting compassion. He was promoting government-endorsed theft of it in order to take it away and get the government gives it to somebody else. That's what this politician didn't say to that little girl. He's deceiving that little girl. Listen, you got to know this. In fact, go to this scripture. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. You might be there in chapter number 11 if you haven't turned away from the last scripture we turned to. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and look at verse number 12. He's here talking about giving. The Bible preaches giving, doesn't it? He said, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So what kind of compassionate giving is accepted with God? Willing. Free will. Not government mandated. Are you out there? I don't know if you're hearing this, what the Spirit's saying to your heart. Socialism is actually legalized government theft of an individual's private property. It rejects the individual's right to private property, and that's one of the huge problems socialism has with the Scriptures. I said huge. Amen. How many of you know compassion is scriptural? Yes. But compassion out of free will is the only kind that is acceptable to God and that you will get rewarded for. Yes. The only kind. The kind that you decide you want to do, not somebody else decides they're going to take from you to do it. When you get to know God, but some of these folks don't know him, And maybe they know him in some ways, but they don't know him in this way. When you get to know him, you'll find this is a huge issue with God, that he actually does not even accept a forced gift. And there's no blessing in it. I said, there's no blessing in it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Now, some people try to claim that the early church, they really lived in socialism whenever they had all things common. Well, we need to go back to that, Pastor. But you see, they did it voluntarily in order to meet the needs of others. And it was not mandated or dictated by powers that be on high. You know, Peter didn't mandate it. John didn't mandate it. You understand? Peter actually confirmed this, that it was not mandated, when he said to Ananias and Sapphira, this is Acts 5:4 in the Amplified, as long as, because remember they came and said, well, this is all that we have. We're giving all, they're just trying to look better than they actually were doing. And Peter rebuked them and he said, this is the Amplified, Acts 5:4, even after it was sold, I missed part of it, as long as it remains unsold, was it not your, or still your own? And even after it was sold, was not the money at your disposal and under your control? Yeah. Under whose control? The government's control? No, under their control. So when people say they lived under socialism, no, they did this out of free will. It was under their control. Nobody from on high mandated it. Amen? In other words, because it was your private property, it was under your control to do with it, not somebody mandating you do it.
Right.
The fact that they had all things in common only took place in Jerusalem for a short time and was not continued. Amen. Nor was it ever taught in any of the apostles' doctrine and that the churches should keep such a practice. It did teach that men should of their own free will give to the poor according to their ability. But it was never forced through some system of taxation and confiscation. Are you still out there? I mean, when we talk about taxation, somebody said, are you against all taxes? No, the Bible preaches paying taxes. But I'm talking about the abuse of this to where some of these rates in the past, and people want to push, 70% of income taxed. I mean, take away 70%. And even some are promoting, if you live in the top 1%, 90%.
Yep. Wow.
That is unjust.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
That is unjust.
Yes.
There is a place in the Bible. The Bible preaches paying our taxes. But there needs to be just. That's what, you know, Rehoboam took the counsel of the young man to make it harder and harder and take more and more from them. What does that do? It allows the government to become bigger. And anything that's bigger has more control over your life. What does that do? It takes away liberties, which this nation was founded upon. Whenever you have to give whatever huge percent to the government for them to redistribute to somebody else, then really that is taking from you against your will. Now, everybody's still glad you came. Now, property rights are God-given. You can see those verses we already quoted. God originally gave man the earth, Psalm 115. He didn't give it to governments, he gave it to man. Amen. And that's why, if you look at the map of countries of the world that compares nations according to the individual property rights. Which nations give their citizens the most property rights? They're always the freest and most prosperous nations. Noah Webster said, let the people have property and they will have power. Power to make sure all their other God-given inalienable rights are secured. Woo! In other words, the government serves us. We don't serve the government. Hallelujah. So when you look at the map and see the most prosperous nations have the most property rights, that tells you that freedom and prosperity, are connected. And freedom and prosperity is connected. Is poverty of God or is prosperity of God? Some of you are way too quiet on that. At Spirit of Faith Family Church, you should have hollered, prosperity! I wish above all things you prosper and be in health, even as you're so prosperous. Amen.
Amen.
Venezuela recently became close to communist socialist nation. And they went from, they still have huge oil reserves, and they went from some of the top of the nation, in the world, boom! People, the average citizen in Venezuela has lost 20 pounds because they don't have enough to eat. Even the poor that they claim to be helping are being affected by it. That ought to tell you, something ain't right. Something ain't right. Isn't that right? Government confiscation of property is directly connected with tyranny. Let me say that again. Government confiscation of property is directly connected with tyranny. Amen. The founders of our nation recognized that government exists to protect the rights of citizens. Communism and socialism seeks to control that God-given right, amen, the citizens have, and thereby take their property from them. In their doctrine, it doesn't belong to them anyway. It belongs to the collective society and the state to distribute to others as they see fit. They pick winners and losers. Are you still there? That's in opposition to the biblical principle of a right of property ownership, and socialism endorses stealing from men. Are you out there? Hell, can you still handle it? Amen. Now, that's stealing. That's what it is. Socialists don't believe it's stealing. And I'll tell you why. Because they don't believe that's yours. That's not yours. You don't have. That's all of ours. Oh, you made more than you need. Well, then we need to take what extra you have, and give it to somebody else, because you know you've got two of those and two of this and two of that. And listen, over here, somebody doesn't have any. So we take one of yours and give it to them. And we are compassionate. Yeah. With other people's money. Why don't they dole it out of their own wallet? Data proves this. These people are the least and lowest. They give the littlest amount of any people in America. Data also proves that free market economies produce the biggest givers in the world. The smallest givers in the world are people living in communist, Marxist, and socialist countries. They give because they begrudge the fact they've already had to give against their will. Well, I'm not giving anything else, bless God. When they say they're compassionate, they're talking about with your money. Did you know that? They themselves are not compassionate people. They want to take yours and give it to somebody else against your will, which is unscriptural to do it against your will. Hello? Well, we went ahead and shucked the corn already. But see, they don't believe that's yours. That belongs to all of us. You work for all of us. Well, we'll show you in a minute that capitalism actually works for the whole society better than socialism does. We can't get to it all in one service, I don't think. Are you all still glad you came? To them, there is no such thing as property rights. But the Bible makes clear that he endorses property rights. Amen. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, we cannot steward our money as the Bible commands us to do if the state owns our money. The Bible says we are to be stewards of what God gives us. So we can't be stewards of our money and make our financial decisions if the state is making them for us. Amen. So for a political system to be Christian, or at least based on biblical principle. I guess there's no actual Christian federal government. But if we're going to stay as close as we can to the Bible. Well then, that mandates, listen to me very carefully, the protection of private property rights. And allow individuals the freedom to allocate their resources according to their conscience. All young people are listening, right? Socialism is statism. It means the state is the authority over all. And it believes that government is the ultimate authority in the earth and should therefore control all the property. God said, no, I want individuals to have ownership of the property. Socialism actually rejects property rights. Karl Marx actually stated, now he's the one that started Marxism, communism, remember over there in Russia. He actually said that the theory of communism can be summed up in a single sentence, the abolition of private property. Well, ringy dingy. Are you there? Well, praise God. I don't know how much more of this you can handle. Socialism actually tries to also control your intellectual property. To them, it's really not your own. Oh, you came up with that idea and made a million? Okay, now we're taking that intellectual property right from you because we need that to feed the poor. They don't even consider your own conscience and what it dictates to you, your own. In fact, full manifestation, socialism says you yourself do not belong to God or to yourself. You belong to the state. You belong to the collective society. And that's how they control you, because you don't belong to yourself. Amen. That's what you're voting for when you vote for socialists. And listen, there's more of it in America than you want to admit. If that's what you want, that's really not what you want. It's not what God wants. And He'll hold you accountable for your actions. He'll hold you accountable, not the state. What you do with your funds, He's going to hold you accountable. He's not going to ask, what did the state do or tell you to do?
Come on.
Tell your neighbor, we're accountable how we steward our finances. Now, here's another problem socialism has. Socialism assumes that when you if this system is implemented, that you'll work as hard for society or the state as you will for yourself and your family. That's been proven patently false over and over and over again. Did you know the Pilgrims tried that when they first came here? They didn't tell you that in high school, did they? The Pilgrims actually tried that, where they put it all in one big, all their, you know, they worked their crops, and they put all the harvest in one big pile, and then they distributed it to whoever they needed. And they found out that doesn't work. Because they found out some people became amazingly lazy real quick. Amen. Their productivity went way down. Did you know they tried it, but they abolished it? I think after a year or so, I forget how long they tried. But they said, nope, that doesn't work. Socialists say, vote for me and I'll provide for you. Of course, with other people's money. Sounds compassionate, but it's not really right. Hallelujah. Some of you are getting it. You young people, you need to get an education in this. The second biblical, remember I said there's three biblical principles that socialism violates and capitalism endorses that we need to examine. The second one is the right to individual enterprise and a man to benefit from the fruit of his own labor. Now go over to Ecclesiastes 6, 1 through 2. And then we'll come to the New Testament. Ecclesiastes 6, 1 through 2. A little different this morning, isn't it? I've seen this thing rising in our nation, and I kept saying, Lord, I know it's wrong. How many of you know a lot of us intuitively, I've met many Christians, they intuitively know this is wrong, but why? What does the Bible, where is this thing pushing us, and why is it off? How many of you know we're to be commended if we intuitively know if something's wrong, if we follow that intuition? Because that's the Holy Ghost endeavoring to teach us. But it'd be better if we had Bible knowledge so that we really can stand in faith. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. And you're not going to rebuke the spirit of socialism over America if you don't agree with the Bible on this. You're going to say, hey, they're going to give me a new cell phone. They're going to give me my groceries. They're going to pay for my rent. Well, I'll vote for them. Well, they're going to also, whatever they can give, they can take. They sure can. And so don't vote for a short-term bailout or a short-term fix for your problem. Vote for the long-term victory in America.
Amen.
And long-term freedom.
Yes. Amen.
Say freedom.
Amen. Freedom.
Now, Ecclesiastes 6, verse number 1. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches and wealth and honor, so that he wants nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eats it. This is vanity. It is an evil disease. He's describing socialism. I mean, you make a whole lot of money and you don't get to eat hardly any of it. Somebody else gets it. Come over to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. He called it vanity and an evil disease. 1 Corinthians 9. Anybody learning anything this morning? I believe we ought to learn something when we go to church. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 10. Now, this is talking about ministers, but this would be true about everyone. He's talking about ministers being compensated for their ministry and so forth. He said, the verse number 9 is kind of where it starts, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. Does God take care for oxen, or saith he it altogether for our sake? For our sake, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth should thresh in hope, thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. Now, let's say what that's, notice what this says. The plowman that's plowing, now that's talking about ministers, but this is true about everybody. If you work, you ought to be a partaker of the crop you're helping to work to get in. In other words, what he's talking about is profit motive. Working motivated by the fact, I'm going to get the profit out of this. Amen? And the freedom to have and to be an enterprising person, putting my hand to something, amen, and eat the fruit of my labors. Huh? Benefit from the fruit of my labors. Listen, if I'm plowing with if I got a field and I'm plowing the field, I don't want that to go to all the oxen. I want that to go to me. There's a portion, there's a first portion that goes to God, and Jesus said, render to Caesar what is Caesar, render to God what is God. But there is also an unjust system of trying to take more than was just to distribute it to people who don't want to work. My Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. What is that? That's an incentive. That's listen. I won't go hungry if I work. Amen. So this is saying that profit motive encourages more labor, which in turn produces more wealth. The opposite is, the more you work and the wiser you work, the more you should benefit materially. Amen. With more to eat, better things to live in, drive, wear. Socialism completely removes that incentive. In fact, it penalizes productivity. By confiscating the fruits of your labor by taxation. Isn't that right? And causes men to produce less, which causes poverty. That's why all these nations go into poverty. Amen. Where there is liberty and the protection of a right of a man to benefit from his labor, he will produce more, invent more, buy and sell more, and generally be more productive, produce, and then the society will benefit from that. Amen. It's been liberty in America. There's laws in America. There's copyright laws. There's patent laws. There's things that give people the right to benefit off an invention or off of a creation, a machine, a product, or a service or something. And there are laws that protect Americans from having all that confiscated through patent laws and, you know, things like copyright laws and so forth. And the reason that invention has exploded in America is because of that very thing. That is a huge incentive to produce. Are you there? And that is a very biblical thing. We just read about three scriptures there. You don't work, you don't eat. What's the opposite of that? You work and you put your hand to something. You have a right to partake of that. And if you work harder, you have a right to partake of it more. And if you work smarter and invent something, you have the right to get the money off of that invention. Oh, if you knew what was going on. Yeah, I won't even get into that. This we've got, amen. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching all right. Hallelujah. Now, if you're still there and you aren't mad yet. In the light of these things, the right of an individual to have their own private property and to be enterprising and get the fruit of his labors and enjoy it himself, socialism has a problem, has another problem. It punishes work and virtue even. It even punishes right living. Because if you live right and you work hard and you do the right and you play by the rules and so forth, you get ahead in a proper economy, in a proper culture. But in socialism, you don't have to do all those things. You can be lazy. You can just mooch off of others and you're going to live just as well as everybody else. Uh-huh. There are people that won't go to work because they can do better on welfare. Now, I'm not saying that there shouldn't be some welfare for the certain situations. But you all know the system, how people game the system. Why work when it's mostly going to be taken away from you anyway? Amen. To support a bigger and bigger government has more and more power and takes more and more of your earnings, has more and more control over your life, and... why live right and play by the rules and be honest and, you know, do all that whenever there's no consequences, there's no benefit, there's no payoff for you. You understand what I'm talking about? Well, praise the Lord. Karl Marx famously said, from each according to his ability and to each according to his needs. Well, who would disagree with that? Sounds compassionate. But he's talking about a force thing. Are you still out there? Hallelujah. Government instituted redistribution of wealth runs the risk of removing God-designed reward and consequences. It can punish those who are industrious by making them pay for those who are not. Everybody say reward and consequences. Reward and consequences. Don't work, you don't eat. Well, now, wait a minute. That's not fair, you know. His mother-in-law might have made him sad today and he doesn't want to work, you know. Bunch of pansies. He needs to stay home and, you know, be comforted by his dog that's emotional. What's that thing called now they do, you know? Brother, get out there and get on the job. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Did you know Karl Marx mooched off of people his whole life? He even failed to provide for his own children and his own wife. No wonder he wanted to come up with a system people just... Well, praise the Lord, Pastor. I didn't know all that. Well, now you do. Just remember that when you go into the voting booth. The Bible teaches that aid, financial aid, should be connected to responsibility. First, anyone refuses to work should not eat. Isn't that right? Therefore, socialism in direct, you know, opposition to the truth of 2 Corinthians. That's quoting 2 Thessalonians 3:10. If a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Next, no one should be given aid whose family can provide for him. 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul said that if a man fails to provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. This compassion and taking care of those in need should happen first on the family level. That's the way God designed it. And then we see the Bible talks about the church can help if there's no family. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:10 that it talks about giving to widows, doesn't it? But God, in this passage, shows that there's government level is not first or second.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, I don't have a church. Well, then that's part of your problem. On top of that, the early church required in 1 Timothy 10, when it talked about giving to the widows and so forth, the early church required that widows who receive aid have a good reputation for good works. So even in dispersing aid, the church rewarded virtue and discouraged vice or laziness. Socialism doesn't think about that. Amen. Did you get that? It said, don't take them in unless they have a reputation, the widows, to give to them, unless they have a reputation of good works. In other words, they're still industrious. They're still ministering to the church people. They're still doing what they can. And if they can't, then the family should take care of them. And if the family's not there, you know, maybe everyone died or something, then the church can take care of them. And if that's not there, then the government can get involved. But that'll cut out a whole lot of them. If they live right. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching the word now. So everybody's still glad you came this morning. Here's another problem socialism has, by which you can judge it. Remember, you know things by their fruits. And this one is the one of the ones the Lord wanted me to finish up with. It encourages envy, covetousness, and class warfare, all of which are condemned in Scripture. What do I mean, class warfare? It demonizes the rich, blaming all society's problems on them. Now, next time you listen to some of these people talk, you listen to them, and that's exactly what they're saying. I'll make some quotes. I won't even tell you who they are because it's not about individuals. It's about these wrong thinking, these wrong ideas. One particular big-time socialist guy said, let us wage a moral, notice that, moral, he thinks this is moral, political war against the billionaires and corporate leaders of Wall Street and elsewhere whose policies and greed are destroying the middle class of America. Boy, that sounds good. That's right. Those fat cats up there. Who are creating jobs and that's taken right out of Karl Marx's playbook. He saw all society's problems as a big battle between the rich and the poor. Now listen to another real well-known person who if I called their name, you just all of you'd recognize this lady. Amen. Let me see if I can find the quote. It's right here. By the way, we'll have to qualify this because people can misunderstand this. But another one of these people made this statement. I'm looking for it. It's so good. You've got to hear it. You've got to hear it. They said, the U.S. economy requires a toppling of the wealthiest 1%. Now, that's encouraging class warfare. That's promoting envy and covetousness. You have all that money, some of that belongs to me. Who said? Huh? Now, some of you don't like what I'm preaching right now. It demonizes the rich, blaming all the problems on them. You see what they're doing? Now listen to me very carefully. Now here's where I want to bring up this verse again, Proverbs 14:31. Whosoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for his maker. The Bible preaches that the rich are not to oppress the poor. Take advantage of them. They're to be generous. So forth and so on. Not to, you know, push them out of the marketplace. You remember in the Bible, whenever people gleaned their fields, they were to leave some at the edge for their for the widows and so forth. Don't glean those corners, you know. And that's a biblical thing. You understand? So you have to listen carefully to what these people are saying, because the Bible does strongly warn the rich and the powerful not to oppress the poor. But here's what you've got to understand. What they're saying goes far beyond just decrying certain injustices of rich people. They're basically condemning an entire class of people simply for possessing wealth. That's their crime. You've got a lot of money. That's a crime. They're demonizing them just for having it. Listen to them very carefully. They're not dealing with the injustices. They may say that to make it sound good, but you get them, you ask them, what are the injustices? And they'll go into all kinds of things that aren't really scriptural. Are you still out there? Tell your neighbor, I don't know if I've ever heard pastor preach so good or not. This is good preaching. They're encouraging the rest of society to rise up and overthrow them. You know, march through their security gate and burn their house down. You know what I'm talking about? Because you got that from all of us. The rich are not causing all the problems in America's society. The rich are funding jobs. And they're creating products that make us want to have them because it improves our quality of life. And the people in America that some of these people call poor, some of these politicians call them poor, the rest of the world would love to come here and be poor. I want to be poor. Let me be poor. The lowest people, listen, capitalism has raised more people out of poverty than any system that has ever been invented on this planet. Absolutely the truth. Oh, I'm going to have a good afternoon this afternoon. I've been wanting to utter some of these things. Amen. We're not trying to attack people. We're dealing with a mindset that is unscriptural and that needs to be guarded against in our own thinking. People like, let's just take a man that everybody knows, Bill Gates. He's got tremendous wealth, but he didn't acquire it through stealing from the masses. They created great products that all of us wanted and paid for willingly. Because it helps us. Isn't that right? Amen. These people that are whining, why don't they go create something? Why don't you produce something that everybody wants? Besides a headache. You know what I'm talking about? And they're actually providing jobs for masses of masses of families have incomes because they're providing jobs. And they have a right to compensation. It was their invention. It was their ideas. Isn't that right? And handsomely be rewarded. And you know what a lot of these people do anyway after they... I know Bill Gates is doing it. Whether he's doing it right, I don't know. It's not my business, not my money. I just let him do it. But they're turning around and giving a lot of this away again. But people want to demonize them. That's a problem. That's proof positive. You'll never be rich yourself. Even if they were exploiting the poor, which the Bible preaches against, nowhere does the scripture support the have-nots demanding money from the haves. It supports the haves giving to the poor. But us saying, that's partly mine, you need to give that all to us. Amen. It does teach we shouldn't covet. I thought that was in the Bible. I'm glad I came this morning. Did you know, and this will be the where we end here, I think. The parable of the talents is completely against socialism. The man that did nothing with what he was given, Jesus said, take it from him and give it to him that increased what he had been given. Does that sound like socialism? Take it for the one that doesn't do anything with what they got to produce more and give it to the one that knows what to do with it to increase it. That's exactly opposite. And Jesus is the one speaking. Whoa. Whoa, Myrtle. Wait. These people screaming today. Are you out there? Does that sound like these people that are out there screaming today? I don't think so. Do you know that statement actually is more supportive of capitalism than it is socialism? People that know how to take what they have, create something with it. You know, you got $100,000. Take that and create something and multiply and produce it. Everybody wants one. Buy one. Okay, now you don't have $100,000. Now you got $1 million. Ooh, that's called capitalism. And then take that and multiply it more, create more jobs. And that product you created lifts the standard of living for all. I rest my case. I said, that actually sounds more like capitalism than it does socialism. Capitalism rewards productivity with having more. Oh, Jesus. He's not a socialist. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this? Praise God. I will say that passage, you ought to study that passage in 1 Kings 12, 1 through 19. Because that passage is addressing these issues that government is the servant of the people. Government's job is to level the playing field, give everybody the same opportunity. Yes. Nobody has more of an opportunity than other people. Laws should be just, which mean it gives everybody an equal opportunity, and nobody should be blocked out of this because of unjust laws. But then it ought to stand back and say, have at it. Listen, some are going to go for it, and some are going to whine. And that's why Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. Isn't that right? So, did you get anything out of this today? Government is ordained by God to operate in the wisdom of God to serve the people, not be their master. Socialism always causes people to resent their government and rebel because they start picking winners and losers. And people eventually want to be free to win or lose on their own. Let me have a chance. You know what I'm talking about? So besides that, poverty is, besides poverty, this is one of the main reasons people eventually always turn on socialism and communism. Is because the government is so big and controlling their lives. Are you out there? And people eventually turn on it and they want to reach for freedom to express their God-given talents. I got this invention. I got this idea. I got this thing I could do. But the government wants to take it all away from me. And they want to say, get out of my life. Let me create. Let me invent. Let me produce. Let me win or lose on my own. Eventually, that's where people come to. So that's why they always reject it. Amen. So, see, we're not attacking people. We're attacking a unbiblical system of government. And the kind of thinking. Did you hear what Brother Hagin said? That dark cloud was in the minds of men. Did you hear that? He was talking about thinking socialist thoughts, thinking communist thoughts, thinking these ways. And I didn't have time to address all that communism and socialism actually says. They're very ungodly, very against God. They're very anti-Christian. And but you can see they're also against these principles of the free market, can't you? That was the third one. I didn't get to the third one. The third one was the principle of the free market. And we're out of time, so we won't spend the time on that. Amen?